Hello and welcome to the Tech Chambers podcast. I'm your favorite podcaster, Godsend Michael. Today, I want to freely talk about all facets of AI, how developers are becoming the best they can be through the use of artificial intelligence. And also, like I said, it's going to be a very open podcast today. There's not going to be a streamlined way of, you know, discussing this. So I'm just going to try and branch out to all areas where I feel developers are benefiting from the advent of AI. So, of course, we know the impact artificial intelligence is having in the tech space entirely. But then let's narrow it down to how it is affecting developers, right? So developers, prior to the advent of artificial intelligence, would always run up to Stack Overflow when they hit the rocks, you know, when they are trying to get answers to something and they can't quite get those answers, they quickly go to Stack Overflow and lodge their problems there. And hopefully another person who has passed through the same step or the same challenge or the same problem on their coding would proffer a solution. So if prior to AI, we would ideally want to Stack Overflow. And this is me trying to address a particular school of thoughts, just follow through my thought process. So if we actually do visit Stack Overflow or even ask Google for probably help and guidance or documentation of where such implementation has been done, or in the bid to research how we can implement a certain algorithm, we go ahead and research by asking Google, checking or logging it on Stack Overflow, or even calling up someone to hop on the Google Meet and help us. So if all these are the case, and of course programmers would agree that we all at some point have indulged in this just to achieve solvency for our problem or for our code, yeah? So if all this has always been in place, why is it then problematic, or why would a certain set of persons find it problematic that when you still feel like you need to research a particular solution for your algorithm or for your coding challenge, you shouldn't ask ChatGPT? And don't get me wrong, I'm not advertising for a particular AI outfit. I'm saying ChatGPT is more like the rave of the moment here. Yeah? So why would somebody say something like using ChatGPT makes developers lazy? So what exactly would be your line of argument? If the same thing that ChatGPT does now is almost the same thing you would have done without ChatGPT, how is it now making developers lazy? Because when you say, in the case of ChatGPT, all the best arguments that can be raised by people who subscribe to the school of thought is that, okay, look, whenever people go to ChatGPT, they just ask it for the whole thing, and then in some cases, it spits it out verbatim. But then let's put a little caveat there. If you properly know how ChatGPT prompting functions, it doesn't, especially in fact, this argument is only holding or stands to hold water if your code is just, let's say, anything below 50 lines of code. That's of course when ChatGPT will give you everything. But there are lines of code where you keep declaring classes and constructors, and before you know it, you're running into hundreds of lines of code and all that. ChatGPT doesn't give you all that at a stretch. So either ways, it still means that when you break it down to chunks, it is still serving the research purpose. So for example, you want to implement a user login functionality with Python. and then you go ahead and ask ChatGPT, how can I implement a user login functionality using Django or Flask on the back end? When you do this, this is exactly the same thing you would have done by going straight to Chrome, opening up your browser and then typing how to implement login functionality using Django or Flask. That is exactly what you're doing. But then that argument that in this case ChatGPT will just give you everything, but Google will allow you to read at least and figure out the one that works for you, it just means what this AI is doing is it's undercutting the time you would have invested in probably sieving through a whole lot or a pool of suggestions that Google would give you. But ChatGPT just probably does the web crawling and then gets you something that is actually more definite. And this stands to offend some persons. They feel like, no, it shouldn't be that way. Developers are meant to actually suffer. You should go ahead and suffer, keep digging, keep searching on Chrome, keep asking people on Stack Overflow, and keep getting wrong answers from there that doesn't work for you, or they keep telling you, do it like this, it worked for me, and you keep trying, it's not working for you. And then some people even go out as much as saying you have to kiss many frogs before, you know, you find your Mr. Right and all that. But let's be logical for a minute. What you basically need is the ability to research and get what you want. And secondly, the ability to maximize your time and by extension, your output and efficiency. So if ChatGPT or AI entirely gives you this, as against the arguments you guys raise for how just researching it with school is better, come on, it means you are still boiling down to the arguments that is already going on between the hegemony companies of OpenAI, Microsoft, and Google. So I think we should understand what's more important here. And at this point, the most important thing is, how does a developer maximize output, maximize their time, and get to write more efficient codes to solve problems? So if AI is helping achieve that, then voila, you have your answer. So that is just on one aspect of AI I want to talk about today. But then again, also there is this whole idea that ChatGPT, pardon me always mentioning ChatGPT, because that is like the most prominent AI now for developers. There is this school of thought that also believe that beginners who are just venturing into the tech industry should go ahead and start learning with ChatGPT and all that. So while a particular group believe, yes, everybody should use the ChatGPT, at least the free version is open for all, even a beginner can go ahead and tap into it and all that and learn with it, while another group would say, no, a beginner shouldn't be meant to always hit up ChatGPT. A beginner should be allowed to understand the basics. So this is just me weighing in on the both sides, yeah? So for the school of thought that feel like a beginner shouldn't use ChatGPT, so I'll weigh in on why they feel so. So this is it. As you're starting out in tech, you find out that it's very pertinent and imperative that you go through the basics, understanding how any language works, following through the syntax, following through the type of functions that can be written using a particular language, whether it's an expression function or declarative function, understanding the syntax, understanding the objects and data structures that exist for that particular language. These things are the nitty-gritties of that language. So when you say I write Python, that means you must have undergone the process of understanding the syntax of Python, understanding how you can efficiently write few lines of code that a Python compiler can understand. Then, when you go ahead and say, you know, students can, newbies can go ahead and use ChatGPT, you find out that humans, or should I say beginners, like, in fact, millennials, who in this case happen to be in the larger percentage of persons who are learning to code from scratch, yeah, these persons prefer to take the easy way out of everything. They would prefer a situation where they would go and quickly ask, for example, a beginner wants to build a website and they want to plug in the back end using something like Python or let's say Flask. So you go ahead to ChatGPT and be like, how do I create a login functionality using Django, for example? Now ChatGPT will spew that out for you. But notice two things that have happened there. First of all, you didn't have to think out how you are going to walk through the functionalities and the syntax and the variables, the functions, whatever that needs, the parameters that the function will take. You didn't sit down to think about it. Think about how the skeleton of this login functionality will look like. That means you've taken away that ability to think of the most basic thing as a login functionality. But then secondly, and most importantly, what you've done to yourself in this particular scenario that I'm painting now, what you've done is you've taken away that initiative to think out the process. Because the first thing I said is you've taken away the ability to understand what the skeleton should look like, the parameters and everything. So when you know the parameters, probably you know that the login, okay, my login should be able to take in a username or an email, then process it, save it to the database. Then when the user is trying to log in, I'll query the database and check if it exists. Now, this is the first part. But then the second part is where you're understanding the process that's supposed to, this thing is supposed to follow. You're trying to, when you sit down and you've already understood the syntax, that will make you point to the second thing, which is understanding how you would arrange the syntax. What functions do I need to write? What parameters would my function take? So this caveat of time when you have to think and make use of your brain power. When a beginner starts going to ChatGPT always, that beginner loses that ability to think for themselves, even for the most basic of things. That's problematic for people who believe in the school of thought. It's problematic in the sense that it robs you of the basics and makes you a hollow programmer. That is a programmer who only copies codes. That's for the school of thought. But then again, let's zoom into the other school of thought who believe that there is no problem for you to go ahead, for beginners to use ChatGPT. So this school of thought, I'm still zooming in on their own idea. They feel like since ChatGPT has this free version that is not paid, anybody can access it. And in this case, newbies are not left out. So they feel newbies, people who are just learning to tech, not learning to code, or they are new in tech, they can go ahead and use ChatGPT. And a few of the reasons they always say this is because, one, it's almost like doing the research that they would have otherwise done with Google right away. Again, they also feel like when you allow young persons to be able to use all available resources within their reach, it starts building in them. There has always been this slogan that every programmer adheres to, that one of the developers' superpower is ability to research. So they also, the school of thought, people that believe in the school of thought feel like you don't get to rub off a newbie that same ability to research, because it means that there is a framework, there is a framing in their own definition where ChatGPT also falls into a form of research that people, a tool for research that people still explore the same way they will explore Google to read documentations or YouTube to watch videos. So it's almost the same thing. So if you cannot kick out, this is still for this particular ideology and this school of thought, if you can't kick out the existence of YouTube and Google, where people can still go ahead and see YouTube videos and just go ahead and pick the same YouTube video that someone already implemented, why then do you feel like they will do the same for ChatGPT? So now, what we've been able to do is we've weighed in on the two sides, and we find out that while there are two sides of the divide, and of course they have various opinions about how AI should be properly utilized, there is one major underlying factor that serves like a common factor denominator for the both sides of the divide, and that's the fact that both sides of the divide agree to the fact that ChatGPT is actually helpful. But where they now tend to disagree is whether a beginner should use it at the early stages of coding or not. But that points us to one thing, and this is something I often say when I talk about AI. The truth is AI has come to stay. So whether you are pro AI for beginners or anti-AI for beginners, what matters is the earlier, since this thing has come to stay, the earlier these people start maximizing its wealth of resources, the better for them. That also goes by extension to say, the earlier they start understanding some of the demerits of overtly depending on AI, the better for them. So the earlier they have access to AI, and then also there is a communication or there is a discussion opened up around how over dependence on AI can make you lose quality, can make you lose touch, can make you lose substance. So it means that when they have access to this AI, that conversation can then start up. There has to be a conversation about how too much dependency on AI takes away your initiative as a programmer, which is one thing that you have as a superpower. So, but then that conversation won't even start if you go ahead to stifle them from utilizing the AI. So basically, that's just how everybody, because you go on Twitter, you hear people always saying AI is going to take developers out of the job. You hear people saying AI is going to make people overly dependent and not think again and all that, and then what then is a programmer if he doesn't think and all that. What I've been able to do is to zoom into the different sides of this dichotomy that exists, and then also broad the underlying factor, because what matters, what I want you as a listener to know, is that either ways, AI has come to stay. So the earlier we tap into its wealth of resources and start maximizing it, the better for us all. Once again, my name is Godsent Michael, and the host for Tech Chambers Podcast. Thank you for listening. See you soon.